So before you sit down, my favourite catchphrase from Dad's Army. We're doomed! That was James Fraser. So would you like to sit down? He always go, we're all doomed, we're all doomed. Other great ones were permission to speak, sir. Do you remember that one? Any others you can remember? Don't panic, Mr. Man. That's right, don't panic. But we're doomed. It's Advent. Praise the Lord. Advent's all about darkness, being doomed, dealing with the difficult stuff of life. Not only is it the beginning of the Christian year and the run-up to Christmas, it's also for us in the Western Hemisphere, Northern Hemisphere, the darkest time of the year. Things are getting cold. Things are getting gloomy. We tend to hunker down, hibernate. We have a sense, don't we, of the darkness pressing in on us, quite literally. And so this season of Advent, this season of dealing with the dark realities of life, seems very opposite to the season of the weather that we're in. And Advent is, you like, a wake-up call. It's a time to take a check on ourselves, to say, are we awake? Because life throws things at us. And things are unpredictable, and things are chaotic sometimes, and things can press in on us. And it's time for us to take a reality check for the way things can be. To wake up and smell the coffee, or the mulled wine is the case, maybe. To fix our eyes on the fact that Jesus promises he is going to come back. And every eye will see him, and every knee will bow before him, and he will wipe away every tear, and everything that has been unfinished and incomplete and unsatisfactory will be revealed for where it sits within his purposes. And death will be no more, and we will be with him forever. Yeah. All right, that's what Advent's about. However, I'm aware that some of you may have come in here perfectly happy this morning. You know, you were cheerful when you came in. And now I'm reminding you that there is a dark side to life, that the darkness can press in, and that things can be fragile and vulnerable, and you might be tempted to just do this. Don't want to hear this. Jesus wants me for a sunbeam. Not every message is for everybody every time. And you might be tempted to just put your fingers in your ears and go, la, 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 la. Don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it. In fact, Jesus often said, didn't he, if you have ears to hear, then hear. Because he knew that not everybody would want to hear what he had to say or be ready to hear it or be in the right place to hear it. So it might be that some of this is not where you are at this morning. However, I suspect that it's probably appropriate for most of us, if not today, then at some point in our lives. Because the purpose of making us think about the difficult things in life is not for me to batter you into a depressed submission so that you will come to Jesus as a last resort, but actually to lay the groundwork for saying, but our hope is so much better and so much stronger, and we have a firm place to stand in life that nobody else and nothing else can give us. Like it or not, sooner or later in your life, something will come and knock you off your feet. There's a line in a song by Bruce Coburn. If you haven't got into Bruce Coburn, I recommend you go home and Google him. Lord of the Starfield, fantastic song. But he's also got another song called The Whole Night Sky. And this has a line in it that says this: sometimes the wind comes out of nowhere and knocks you off your feet. I wonder if you know what that feels like. Things that just come left field and you have no idea that they're coming. Or things that feel like your whole world is being changed and shifted because suddenly nothing is what it used to be. I suspect most of us, if we haven't experienced that already, we'll find a day when we do. For me, one of those days, this is me 20 years old, oh yes. Although, even then it was receding, living it. My boys now, it's so funny, they're all in their early 20s. Their hair is all going. It's great. I love it. I just rub them on the head. Enjoy it. Anyway, sorry, distraction. 20 years old, I was in Bristol doing a summer job in Bedminster in Bristol. I was mail marketing. If you've never done mail marketing, it involves 6 weeks of going into a big room and stuffing envelopes with leaflets every day, all day. Anyway, I used to cycle there morning and evening. And back in those days, in the 19th, people didn't wear cycling helmets. And they also used to do stupid things like having plastic bags on the handlebars, which is what I did, cycling down a main road. And all of a sudden, the plastic bag caught in the front wheel. The bike literally just stopped. I went right over the handlebars in the middle of a main road in Bristol. Boom. Fortunately, that isn't me because I just got mild cuts. That was it. And a little bit of concussion. That's the kind of guy I am. But it was one of those moments when I was cycling along, happy as Larry, and suddenly everything just changed. My whole, the ground literally shifted underneath me. And from then on, my perspective and my values were completely altered because from that day forward, I never put a plastic bag on my handlebars again. But sometimes things can just make you feel like things aren't just unfinished, but things are totally flipped over. And I know that some of you have experienced that. It can be personal tragedy. It can be an overwhelming event. It can be something that makes you realize that there is a fragility to life that you weren't aware of before. Or it can be a recognition that the whole world is fragile. I don't know if you've heard, but apparently we have 12 years until we reach the tipping point with climate change. I think that is a ground-shifting moment that should make us feel, my word, what is going on, and should reveal to us that we are a whisper away from chaos, from everything we know and that is familiar being taken away. I don't know if you felt like that, or more likely, it could be just that the daily grind of losses or negotiations or challenges creates in you a kind of melancholy or depression from time to time. And I think we're particularly prone to that in our culture because there is so much to negotiate in terms of work pressure and time pressure and information overload and all of that stuff that we can easily feel this sense of being overwhelmed, that the ground is shifting. This is not a side issue for us. This is not something I think that only a few people experience. And it's not something that it's just Christians who recognize it. This guy was an atheist philosopher called Bertrand Russell. He said, there is darkness without, and when I die, there will be darkness within. There is no splendor nor vastness anywhere, only triviality for a moment, and then nothing. He must have been a barrel of laughs to be with. But the point is, if that is your statement of faith, and it is a statement of faith, when bad things happen, when the world suddenly shifts under your feet, you've got nowhere to stand. And that is a scary place to be. It will affect how you deal with difficulty. But I don't know if you heard in the reading that Richard brought us from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, that when Paul is writing to those Christians in the midst of a difficult world, he says this, his prayer is that if anything is lacking in your faith, it will be supplied. That your hearts will be strengthened by hope, and that your love, as a result, will increase and flow over to others. And brothers and sisters, this is God's promise to you and me today, that because of the place that we stand, because of the truth of the return of Christ, we can stand in a place today where if there is anything lacking in your faith, it can be supplied. That can be true for you today. We heard it in the prophetic word that was given. And your heart, if it is faltering today, can be strengthened by hope. And if your love is running dry, then it will increase and flow over to others because the presence of God's Spirit is with us. And the hope that He gives us can enable that to happen. This feeling of huge cataclysmic change and all that it brings with it is nothing new. In the reading that we had from Luke chapter 21, Jesus is not only pointing forward to His return at the end of the age, but He's actually chiefly referring to a specific historical event which took place only a few years later and which totally transformed the way that everybody thought about the way the world was. The Jewish people believed that God was in His temple, that the temple was the center of the world, that the center of the world was the nation of Israel, and that as long as God was in His temple, everything was okay and nothing could be taken away. And Jesus was saying, this is going to end. And we know that because in verse 6 of that chapter, He points to the temple and He says, as for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down. He warns them that they will be persecuted in that passage. He says armies will besiege the city. That's why we know He's talking about this particular event. He says they will fall by the sword and they will be taken prisoners. And some of them are going to be so overwhelmed that they will faint with fear. And they will feel like the whole of the universe is collapsing around them. And they will be in anguish and in perplexity. And Jerusalem will be trampled on. And it will come to an end. And everything they thought about the way the world is will suddenly no longer be somewhere they can stand. Because sometimes a wind comes out of nowhere and knocks you off your feet. And sometimes the safe and comfortable and familiar ways you thought life was ends. And you realize that you cannot pretend anymore that you are in control and secure and in charge of your own destiny. What is Jesus' advice in the face of this reality? If your temple has just come crashing down, or is about to come crashing down, if what you thought the way the world is about to come to an end, or if an event happens which perplexes you, what is Jesus' advice? His advice is this: wake up to the things that will last forever. Will this world last forever? Well, it'll be renewed, but it's not going to last as it is. Will our government last forever? Will our nation last forever? Will Brexit last forever? No, none of them will last forever. Will your friendships, will your health, will your good looks, will your money, will your house, will this building last forever? No, none of it will. It will all pass. And if you look into the reality of that on a Monday morning and you start to feel very small or insignificant or even in despair, you've got to listen to the words of Jesus who says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. It's important to note that Jesus is not saying heaven and earth shall pass away. He's simply saying, even if heaven and earth were to pass away, my words will not. He's making a hyperbolic comparison, heaven and earth will be united and restored and renewed. But even if that didn't happen, his words will never pass away. When your world comes crashing down, when the darkness closes in, Jesus is saying, know that you are mine forever. Stand on that promise. Death has been defeated. Stand right there. Heaven and earth may seem to be passing away, but nothing I have promised you, nothing I have said, can be taken away from you. My word remains. My love for you remains firm. You don't need a temple anymore, because I am the temple and I am coming back for you. Jesus' return gives you a place to stand. Brothers and sisters, you will not escape trouble in this world. You will have plenty of trouble. There is much trouble in this world. We are given a cross to carry. I don't know if you noticed, but not everything Jesus wanted went to plan. Not everything Paul wanted went to plan. He got stopped from going places. Stuff can come and knock you off your feet. But with the suffering and loving and dying and resurrected Christ who is coming back, we can experience that trouble entirely differently. Hallelujah. Let me hear you say,
hallelujah.
Great. I once heard of a couple, and they were so busy. They had lots of little children, and they wanted to go on holiday, so they were busy packing the car, and they packed the car up, they got the kids in, put them in the back seat, got the pet in the back seat, sat in the front seat, shut the door. The husband turned to the wife, and he said, so, darling, where are we going on holiday? And she looked at him and said, I don't know. I thought you were planning it. Where are we going? And they both had packed without knowing they were going anywhere. How ludicrous to live your life packing, as it were, without any sense of destination, without knowing what the end goal is. We are not packing for a journey with no destination. Paul says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. This whole thing is not a dead end. It has a goal and a purpose. And there will be a time when the groom, Jesus, will come for his bride. And Jesus says, when these things that knock you off your feet, your temple crashing down, you're going over the handlebars, your life changing, your bereavement, whatever it is, when these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Everything you know could come to a swift end. But Jesus says, stay awake. Stay alert to what really matters. Because the problem is that if we live like this world is all that there is, and we start to get sucked into it, then the anxieties of life can drag us down. And we start reacting by self-medicating. Jesus said, be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day you're not expecting, will close on you suddenly like a trap. And so we self-medicate, don't we, with alcohol and eating too much and exercising too much and too much Strictly Come Dancing. Whatever it is. It's very joyful and redemptive. But, you know, endless telly can be a way of avoiding the realities of life. Jesus says, be careful. If you do that, you won't be able to cope when that day comes. you'll become fractured and dissipated. I don't know what tomorrow will bring any of us. But I do know this. If you want your heart strengthened, if you want to know what peace on earth now in this life feels like, if you want to be awake enough so that when that day comes, you are able to stand firm, the only one who can guarantee it is the one who is coming back for you. And a story that brings a lump to my throat every time I hear it is about this man. It's called Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was a pastor during the war, a German pastor, and he was executed by the Nazis just as the Russian tanks, you could hear them in the distance coming to liberate him. And he turned to his jailer, and his last words were, "For me, this is not the end. This is the beginning." He stood firm. He stayed awake. And when that day came, he was able to lift up his head. Another famous prayer says this: "My pace is set. My gait is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My companions few. My guide is reliable. My mission is clear. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I must go until he returns, give until I drop, preach until all know, and work until he comes." And I love this last bit. "And when he comes to get his own, he will have no problem recognizing me. My colors will be clear." Stay awake to the promise of Jesus, whose words will never pass away. Are you getting drowsy in life? Are you drifting? Self-medicating because you think you're doomed? Are you able to face the inevitable challenges of tomorrow? Today, may he strengthen your heart so that you may be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when he comes with all his holy ones. So today, the invitation to you is to come and receive that strength and that prayer at the end of the service. But as we sing this final hymn, I'm going to invite you, if you want to pray symbolically and ask that you may stay awake and be alert and that your little light may shine, then you come up to the table and light a candle as we sing and say, "Lord Jesus, wake me up, give me strength, may I be ready." And just make that your prayer and then make sure you come forward and at the end as we leave and get someone to pray for God's Holy Spirit to fill you and strengthen you. So don't be shy of coming forward. It's only lighting a candle. It's perfectly all right, health and safety wise. But it may just be the trigger for you to stand up and wake up to the Lord who calls you. So shall we stand to sing and come forward if you wish to and make that your response?